I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today I'll be joined by someone at the forefront of new plant introductions. To talk about that, and the work the company does with beekeepers, from Sutton Seeds, it's Rob Smith. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast. We should expect rough winds in March, and certainly we had some this week. Like many people, no doubt, I had a fence panel blow down, and need to do some quick repairs, otherwise I'll have the whole lot down. If I was working out on garden centres with wind like that, I would hate it. You know, as fast as you stood plants up, the wind blows them down again. It's relentless and it can do quite a bit of damage. But there we are. That's nature. We have to live with it. This week it's the Pansy and Viola Festival at the Meadowcroft Garden Centre. And at least folk going this coming weekend from the week will be undercover to see that amazing collection of hundreds of different pansies and violas. And if you go on a nice warm sunny day, you could be surprised how many of them have a really nice fragrance to them. If you do go, look out for the pansy trailing types. They're very vigorous, particularly good obviously for hanging baskets and the edges of containers, but I'm finding that they're very useful to plant in beds and borders too, because that extra vigour means that they spread out very quickly and they don't half flower. I was driving into the garden centre of Coolings at Knockholt and they've got a long border planted out. Give that another week or two's warm weather and it'll be a fantastic show. News this week from Fibrex Nurseries. They're specialists in pelargoniums, ivies and ferns. I've known them for three generations, I think. And they've stopped taking orders from across the channel. No more orders accepted from Europe until after Brexit. They're very worried about what might happen. If we do get a clean Brexit, then the chances are that nurserymen sending plants from here to Europe will have to pay for a plant health inspection. That'll cost about £70, I think, and a lab certificate just to make sure everything's clean and healthy. Fibrex are certainly taking it gently. They say also that there's a tremendous lot of orders going out in March, and really if in early April, along with that heavy workload, they've got additional paperwork to do, could cause them some confusion. If garden clubs and societies too are looking for speakers, as they often are, perhaps they should try Howard Drury. I met him last week. He offers a whole load of topics, including celebrity gardeners, people like Percy Thrower, and he worked alongside Cyril Fletcher in the Midlands for some years. So don't forget Howard Drury. I think you'd have an entertaining evening listening to him. Amongst the new products launched to us last week, Forest have introduced what they call a Victorian walk-around greenhouse. It's just a very small greenhouse, from memory about 6 foot square, but there's doors in all four sides and you work from the outside. You know what it is, you put up a small greenhouse, most about 6 by 8, and you put a path down the middle, and of course it takes at least a third of the floor space to grow things. So it's quite a clever idea, using all of the internal space to grow things, and just opening the door and work from the outside. Mind you, I tend to go into my polytunnel when the weather's rough. So I'm afraid if it's raining, you'll have to be standing outside and get wet while your plants stay indoors and get dry. But the key thing to it, always, especially with a small volume greenhouse, is the ventilation. And I was interested to see that there are two vents in the roof of this small greenhouse, and you can fit automatic vents. So if the sun comes out and it gets very hot, then automatically the windows, the vents open, and it helps to cool it. I was interested too to hear the background to a new soil treatment called Blooming Amazing Soil Conditioner. There's a farm down in the southwest, I think quite a big farm, 5,000 acres I think, and they grow maize to compost to generate biogas. And when they compost this maize, it gives off a liquid fertiliser, about 80%, and 20% of the bulk remains as a fibre residue. And that makes a very good soil improver, and I think it'd make a pretty good mulch. It actually contains quite a bit of plant food in the ratios 4-2-4. You know, if you look at all fertilisers on the pack, it'll give you those sort of ratio numbers. And 4, the first one is nitrogen. 2 is the phosphates, and 4 potash. And a 4-2-4 plant food is pretty good going. Now, when it comes to gardening advice, last week again I heard a talk from Chris Cork. He's the head gardener at Beely Abbey. Really lovely old building that is, he's got to work against, and some really old Tudor type walls. And he had a cottage flower border that was absolutely stunning. They've got quite a lot of roses there too, pretty well all David Austin roses. And he was saying that a number of them grow really quite strong, as we were talking about several months ago. Things like Graham Thomas and Shropshire Lad can be trained up as quite modest growing climbers. I mean, if you're ever into the Malden Essex area, Beely Abbey Gardens are open to the public once or so a month, and that makes a very good place to visit. All plants that are going to be growing strongly and flowering a lot, of course, will need feeding, and I've had general fertiliser scattered around my roses in the last week or so. The rose fertiliser is high potash, and of course that suits a number of other fruits as well as roses. I like to put rose fertiliser on red currants, certainly on the more tasty fruit trees, that's apples and pears. But if it's a culinary thing, something like blackcurrant, rhubarb or gooseberries, the culinary gooseberry, then you need a bit more nitrogen. And so Growmore will probably do those pretty well. If you stop and think about it, blackcurrants, you prune them really hard each year, you cut a lot of wood out. And so, of course, you will need some energy, some plant food to replace that growth. And rhubarb the same. You know, you're pulling a lot of stems and leaves, and so that wants a bit of feeding, and now's a good time to do that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Our guest today is Rob Smith. He's the product development manager for Sutton's and Dobie Seeds. Goodness, yeah, pretty fascinating and interesting job. But Rob, how did you first get into it? You know, what's your background?
My background, it's a really strange one, a strange way to come into horticulture. Basically, I've been a really keen gardener for many, many years. Started off with my granddad on his allotment when I was about 3 years old, growing all his stuff and growing things of my own as well. Been very keen as a gardener all the way through my life. And then in 2015, entered a program called the Big Allotment Challenge on BBC Two. And basically, I got whittled down from, I think it was about 5,000 people that entered, to the contestants that went on the TV and eventually won the programme.
I should have remembered and known that, shouldn't I? Watched all the programmes.
It was a while ago now, yeah.
But I should still have remembered it. A beautiful walled garden, wasn't it?
It was. Maple Durham. It was absolutely stunning, absolutely beautiful place to actually to grow, to be privileged to grow in, yeah.
And did you just go there one day a week? I mean, how did you cope with that?
No, it was... at the time, I used to work for a long-haul airline. I was cabin crew for a long-haul airline for nearly 20 years. So I had quite a few days off at a time between different trips. And basically, I used to go down there on a Friday and Saturday, stay over Friday, Saturday night, and work there on the Sunday as well. So it was 3 days a week for 6 months. We were actually down there growing, preparing and filming.
And were the other allotmenteers the same then? Did you all do 3 day stints?
Yeah, I think the maximum we could do was about 4 days. Otherwise, it became a little bit unfair because I lived in Sheffield, which took me about three and a half hours to get down there. And one of the other contestants only lived in the next village, so he could cycle over on his bike whenever he wanted.
I mean, he needed a handicap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he should have gone via Scotland or something like that.
Yeah. So the job you've got now really was almost the answer to a prayer or a dream.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know what it's like when you garden as a hobby. It's amazing. You love the hobby, and then for the hobby to actually become a job, it is. I count myself as probably one of the luckiest people alive to actually go for something and make a living out of what I absolutely love to do.
Well, for most of us, I mean, it's not a job; it's a way of life, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, now, if we get on to the job itself with Suttons and Dobies, what exciting things have you got for us in the current year? You know, I met you last week and we were talking about delphiniums and peppers and sedums and all kinds of things. So can you run through some of the exciting things you're offering?
Yeah, from the plant side of things, like you said, we've got the new Sedum Atlantis, which is a variegated, really pretty little plant. There are things like the Delphinium Cinderella, which is the first year flowering. It's almost, well, it's double, almost triple flowered pink delphinium with a little green bee in the centre. And then there are things like the Isoplexus, the new Isoplexus, I think it's called, is it Belladonna? Belladonna, I think, which is taken from the wild one from the Canaries, but it's actually been domesticated.
And most
and
people
could be made shorter.
Yeah, most people would know that as a sort of foxglove hybrid.
Yeah, and it's got that really unique colour to it. So it's like a really bright orange, but the petals and the actual flowers are different to a normal foxglove. So they're a lot more pointed, a lot more striking in the garden.
And if I could go back for a minute to the delphinium, is that seed raised? I mean, are you offering seeds or plants?
No. That's going to be as plants. I think that was developed in New Zealand, so that's coming in as plants.
Now, one of the things that I've worked with Suttons and Dobies with over the years are grafted tender crops. Things like tomatoes, cucumbers, aubergines. And there's no question in my mind whether you're growing in a greenhouse or outside. The grafted plant is a much better garden plant.
Yeah, you look at the two together if you ever compare them, and the difference is just striking straight away from it being a young seedling. They're just so much more vigorous, so they look healthier, and they just produce so much more as well.
It's my practice, usually I tend to go for the high-flavoured cherry tomatoes, to take two stems up And you actually offer two varieties on one plant, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. We do a grafted duo. So for those people that don't have, say, so much space, or they've only got a small greenhouse, but they want to grow a couple of varieties, we graft two together. So you only have one stem from the ground, but then you have two leaders, shall we call it, with two different varieties on the top.
And the roots are strong enough to actually carry those two stems, and you get, well, not quite double the crop, but getting pretty close to it.
Yeah, I think it's in trials. We've got about 75% more than on its own rootstock. So it's a big difference for people who haven't got the room to grow hundreds of different tomatoes.
And the rootstocks will have quite a bit of disease resistance, won't they?
Yeah, we change our rootstocks quite regularly because, as you'll know, if people grow in the same soil in the border of their greenhouse, pests and diseases can really build up, especially with tomatoes, and the yield can go down year on year. So by us changing the rootstock, it doesn't let that pest or disease get a hold on the plant. So if you grow the same variety, your favourite variety, every single year, you know, at least with a grafted plant, that they're still going to crop, they're still going to perform, and they won't be affected by the diseases or the pests.
I wasn't aware of that at all.
Yeah.
That you actually change stock.
Yeah, we've actually been looking at some we're looking at some new root stock at the moment, which should mean that grafted, especially tomatoes and aubergines, will crop later into the season because they'll be able to cope with the cold more as well.
Really?
Yeah, so it's something we've been working on for the last couple of years, which is seeming to bear fruit, so to speak, no pun intended, at the moment in our trials. So it's something that we're really keen on at the moment with our grafting.
And the cold resistance in the rootstock is actually carried up through the cultivar, the scion that you've grafted on.
Yeah, it's basically from how it works with our breeders. We've been looking at the fact that some tomatoes don't necessarily ripen or won't continue to crop later in the season because as the soil temperature gets colder, it slows the plant down. So it's not just the above ground bit of the plant that's affected. It's, as you know, when you start to grow things in colder soil, they don't germinate or they don't grow as quick. So these rootstocks can cope with the colder soil temperatures.
Where do they find a rootstock?
No, I can't tell you that one yet.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about tomatoes.
Yeah.
Aubergine, the same family. So are they on the same rootstocks?
They can be on the same rootstock, or they can be on wild aubergine rootstocks. Or there's it can alter, basically, what rootstock you use can alter how the plant performs, the top bit of the plant. But what we did in our trials last year, we had aubergines growing outside down here in Devon under a couple of pine trees. So they probably had shade from around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've never seen such big and productive plants in my career or in my life, really, with the aubergines on this new rootstock that we had. It was really mind-blowing when you saw what they produced.
Really?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And when will that be on offer?
Well, what we want to do is make sure that this actually does work and it does what it says on the tin. So you know what last year was like. It was a really, really good year for those types of crops. So we don't want to alter the figures by saying, yes, they do work. We want, hopefully, an average year this year just to make sure the rootstock do it again so we can actually say and prove with photos this rootstock actually does perform.
Yeah, it was in my mind that certainly last summer suited aubergines well and all the hot summer tropical crops.
Yeah, that's why we don't want to launch this straight away, just in case it doesn't do what it does. But for the last 2 years, it's really, really worked.
Now, moving on to cucumbers and grafted cucumbers, one of the old traditional practices when your cucumbers became a little tired well into the summer, we would earth them up.
Yeah.
But of course, with grafted plants, that would be a disaster.
Yeah, if you earth one of those, you may get a courgette coming from the rootstock as well.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, we don't necessarily just use actual cucumber rootstock for them. There are different ones that you can use. So it doesn't, just because you're growing a cucumber doesn't mean that the rootstock would be cucumber. Or if you're growing a melon might not necessarily be a melon rootstock that we're using for the actual vigour. So it changes as they develop them. The rootstocks are leaps and bounds ahead of what they used to be. They're constantly changing, mainly because they're used for commercial purposes as the forefront of this. That's why when Sutton's introduced the grafted veg a few years ago, it all came from the commercial aspect of the horticultural side, just because they cropped so well. And we thought, well, why, if it works for commercial growers, can we not offer this to a home grower?
Yeah. I mean, commercially, I think it's over 90% of the crops are on grafted plants now.
Yeah, they're all grafted. It's just they just grow so well. And I presume you'll have seen them when you go to Holland and places, and they're literally, the plants are growing up and across, and they're on wires for like 10, 15 feet compared to what we'd have them on at home.
Yeah. Well, we've got two or three really big producers here too.
Yeah.
You know, in Kent and just up the road from me in Suffolk, we have two really enormous tomato nurseries. I think one of them's almost double production in the last 2 years.
Crikey.
Yeah. So those things are really on the move. In amongst the new plants, we slipped through sweet peas, which are a very popular cut flower for me.
Yeah.
You have a new sweet pea, don't you?
Yeah, we do. This was one that we've been working for a couple of years on with one of our breeders, and basically it's sold as a ground cover, or should we call it a carpet type sweet pea, which basically they grow to about 4 feet. Should we say high or long, but they don't produce many tendrils, so they don't actually climb like a normal sweet pea. So if you just leave it on the ground, it will crawl for about 120 centimetres or 4 feet. But because of the habit of the plant, the leaves stay very close to the floor, but it actually throws up the flowers, so it almost looks like a bluebell wood. So that's why we've called it the bluebell carpet.
Well, somebody's coined a really good name there. I did see these several years ago. I think I saw four colours, but they were greenhouse grown.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, just almost like a bed, an eiderdown of flower.
Yeah, it's just, it's an amazing sight, isn't it? When you see them all, and you just, at first glance, if you're far enough away, you could actually think, with the colour and the actual habit of them, that you were going towards bluebells, but then suddenly you get this really heavy waft of the sweet pea scent as well. So it's almost like a two-in-one for that one.
Yeah. Be great for banks, wouldn't it? You know?
Yeah, it'd be lovely. Yeah, keep it watered well enough in the summer and you'll have lots and lots of flowers on a bank. It'll look absolutely stunning.
Now, another development within the Sutton camp is your interest in beekeeping and looking after the apiarist. I mean, does that come into product development, Tom?
Yeah, it has. We basically last year launched a new set of products called Pollinators and Predators. So these were seeds that were specifically to be grown to encourage different insects into the garden. So if you think we'd done bumblebees, honeybees, lacewings, ladybirds, hoverflies, so things that will eat the pests to help the gardener as well, but will also encourage in the pollinators and the bees at the same time.
I hear about a salad leaf which tastes like roast beef. Now, what's that all about? That sounds like a bit of catalogue blurb, that does.
No, do you know what? It's absolutely bizarre. It's actually a tree.
I think it is bizarre.
It's a tree. It's a Tuna sinensis, so it's a Chinese mahogany. But if you grow it as a young seedling and grow it as like a small leaf, it does really, really, I promise you, hand on heart, it tastes like beef and onion crisps. It's absolutely bizarre. When we grew these and when we tried them, I gave some to our MD, David, and he looked at me and said, virtually the same thing you've done while raising an eyebrow, and then tried it. And you sort of get the really oniony allium flavour to start with. And then suddenly it's almost like a bovrilly oxo flavour that follows on, like a really deep beef flavour. It's absolutely bizarre. I've never tried a plant like it in my life. But it's just really strange, but it really works for salads and garnishes and things like that. And then if you want to, you can actually, if you give it a bit of protection over the winter for the first couple of years, you can grow it into a small tree in your garden.
What do I do then? I need to get a packet of seed?
Yep, get a packet of seed. Just literally sow them. It's only like a centimetre, 2 centimetres deep. And once they're off and up, don't harvest them like you would a baby leaf if you want the tree. just leave it to grow. I've got a couple in my unheated greenhouse that have been there all year. They probably grew to about a foot tall last year. They drop all their leaves, and they just look like many other trees, just literally like a little stick in a pot. And then mine have started to sprout probably about a week and a half ago. And in China, it's really popular as a vegetable. So when the new leaf growth starts, all the leaves in one area seem to come from one node. So it's not just one leaf from one node. And it almost looks like a very small bunch of celery. If you harvested a bunch of celery or bought one in the supermarket, they all grow like that. And in China, they have a special hook on a stick, and they'll go around all the plants and they hack them to pull the new new leaves off in one big clump, and then they sell them as you would bunches of celery.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but
why haven't we come across this before?
It's been out for a while now, Peter. It's something that have been in different mixes, in different microgreens and things like that. And I think a few restaurants have used it, but no one seemed to really pick up on the actual flavour and the fact that you don't have to let it grow into a tree if you don't want to, and you don't have the ability to overwinter it. You can just grow it as this tiny little plant and use it in salads or sandwiches, or even for the kids. It's absolutely amazing. Little kids, my niece and nephew, were absolutely amazed when they tried it, because they got the beefy flavour, but it came from a little green plant.
Now, what does a packet of seed cost? Have I put you on the spot? Is that an unfair question? And if I do get a packet of seed...
Yeah, I'm sure we can send you a packet of seed for those.
I'm not on a scrounge. I can afford, I think, a packet of seed just about. If I save up for the week. But if I sow that, some of the seeds I could eat then as salad leaves, how quickly... Yeah. And others I would leave just to see if I could grow a tree.
Yeah, that's right. You're talking about a month, 6 weeks, and you probably have enough to take a few leaves off the new plants. So you get 50 seeds in a pack, and they're $2.99. So you've got plenty to grow on as trees. You only probably want one or two. I've got two in, I think they're in 3-litre pots. And like I said, they're about a foot tall from last year. But then you either eat them all up as the small leaves or just grow them on.
I'm certainly going to lay hands on a packet, and I'm going to take it to the local school. We have a workshop every Thursday.
Oh, they love it.
And I think that's absolutely made for school kids.
Yeah, they'll love that.
Rob, it's fascinating speaking to you. I must chase you up again to keep up to date with all that you're doing, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's very kind. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
My thought this week... was pinned up in a residential home. It said, "A kindness, no matter how small, is always worthwhile." I think it was Aesop who said that. So there we are. Need to do a kindness. Always worthwhile. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and, of course, to my producer, Charlie Jones. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.